Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Good afternoon, listeners, and thank you for joining us this evening. I am Dr. Induo Rampol Chidi with Bible Issues. This evening, my message is entitled, But I Like My Chains. Jamie tells a story about a co-worker who left the job for greener pastures. This co-worker, whom we shall call Deborah, always had it in for Jamie. She would go out of her way to embarrass and discredit Jamie at every opportunity possible. When Deborah left the job, Jamie was ecstatic. All her attempts at establishing a peaceful relationship with Deborah had failed. She was glad she no longer had to deal with Deborah every day. But Deborah wasn't the smartest cookie or the hardest worker, and so she failed her probation at her new job. And she came back to her old employers begging to be re-employed. The CEO told her it could not be done based on company policy. And Janine saw Deborah on her way out of the building and felt compassion for her. Deborah looked so broken, so sad. Janine just felt like there was something she should do. She found a way around the company policy that would allow Deborah to get back her old position. And Janine took it to the CEO and begged for Deborah to be re-employed. Deborah was given back her old job, and not even a week had passed before she started attacking Janine again. That was 7 years ago, and to this day she still makes Janine's work experience miserable and has caused Janine to lose all motivation at work. Deborah is now head of department, a position Janine would have held if Deborah wasn't there. We move to another story. Tessa tells a story about a relationship she was in with an unsaved man. One day, an incident of infidelity on his part took place, and she found the strength to walk away. She speaks of a peace as she walked away. She says she has never felt such a peace. However, not even a month after walking away, she ran back into the relationship. She stayed with him, left her job, made children with him, and tried to build a life with him until he left her for another woman and he never looked back. She was never able to pick back up her life. She never got married. She never got her life back on track. Her dreams of being a missionary were never realized. Carinza tells a story about an abusive relationship in which her sister Carla was involved. They took her to church and prayed with her, and she left the relationship for about 6 months. Then she backslid right back into the relationship again. And after the usual honeymoon period, the abuse started back. She is not here to tell her own story because the abuse slowly escalated. And one night, in a drunken rage, he ended her life. They found him the next day, regretfully cradling her dead body. But this time there could be no honeymoon period between beatings. Carla's life had been snuffed out. As we turn to the Bible, we go to Genesis 19:17, and we see the angel saying to Lot's family as they were delivered from destruction about to fall upon Sodom and Gomorrah, "Flee for your lives, don't look back." But we see that Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. The general assumption here is that she looked back longingly, missing Sodom and Gomorrah, and thereby warranting the punishment she received. Next, we look at the children of Israel. In Exodus 1:14, we are told that the Egyptians, and I quote, make their lives bitter with hard work. There was no question that they were enslaved and in miserable bondage. Then we see God miraculously frees them after working miracle after miracle and showing them his might. Yet in Numbers 14:4, we see them plotting and saying, "Let us choose a new leader and go back to Egypt." In Exodus 16:3, we see them saying, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you, Moses, have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death." It's easy for us to sit in our seat and judge the children of Israel, judge Lot's wife, even judge the people who went back into abusive relationships. But we have to ask ourselves, how different are we from these people? Is there anything out in our life that God has delivered us from that we are going pell-mell straight back into? Whether it's a bad habit, whether it's an abusive relationship, whether it's prayerlessness, whether it's sickness. What is it in our lives that we have failed to embrace the deliverance of God, walk in it, and allow God to strengthen us in a life of freedom instead of turning back into bondage? And why do we do this? Sometimes it's because we crave the familiar bondage. The familiar feels right. The familiar feels like, this is what I do. And if we look at neuroscience, it takes a certain amount of time to build new brain trees in our brain. If we fail to do this, to persevere in a new lifestyle and persevere in new habits, in new relationships, new methods of relating, we will go back into our own old brain trees. And as we go back into these old brain trees, it becomes these old habits, these old bondages, they actually become a physiological part of our brain and we fall back into it. This is why when we come out of bondage, you see that period when you now come out of bondage? That's when you're going to fall back in, if you're ever going to fall back in. That's the most dangerous period. So if you fall out of a relationship with somebody, you've broken up out of a relationship, don't say you're going to be friends. You have enough friends. That person has enough friends. You were never friends. You were in a relationship. Why are you trying to be friends now? You know very well that being friends is going to take you right back into the bad habits of the relationship. Sometimes we fail to realize God's deliverance, like Deborah. Deborah didn't understand what God had delivered her from. 7 years after the fact, now she looks back and she's sad, she's miserable. She wishes she had not had misplaced compassion. And I know I could hear the little Christian judgment coming up against me. Oh, Deborah did the right thing, Deborah had compassion. Yeah, Deborah felt she was doing the right thing, but oftentimes we have to be discerning and in understanding when God is taking somebody out of our lives and not bring them back in just because they play on our sympathy. In Numbers 16, we see Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rising up against Moses and Aaron. Both Moses and God understood that the divisiveness and discontent they were spreading would be detrimental to the entire congregation. And so God dealt with them as needed. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. Generally speaking, we have to know when it's time to close the door on certain people in our lives. When it's time to close the door on certain habits in our lives. On certain bondage in our lives. And in doing so, we need to look at what brought us into bondage in the first place. Deal with the weaknesses and the wrong beliefs. Sometimes it's a wrong belief about yourself. Maybe you have low self-esteem. You may believe you deserve it. Sometimes you believe, look, if I don't marry this guy, if I don't marry this girl, I will never get married. And life is running away from me. I need to do this. Wait. I've heard somebody say once, a bad relationship is better than no relationship. I beg to differ, and I'm pretty sure many people who are in abusive relationships also beg to differ. So sometimes in moving out of bondage, we need to be very careful to change our belief system. Sometimes we need to read the Bible and understand the truth of God's word. Sometimes we may need counseling so that a psychologist can guide us along the way so we could get a better understanding of our situation and our old mindsets can change. Remember, a lot of bondage is in our mind. There's also a tendency to focus on the good memories in a relationship or a bondage situation. Because remember, no bondage is ever 100% bad. When there are good memories and good aspects and good times in the relationship, there's a tendency to focus on that rather than the bad times. And if we focus wrongly, then guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall back in. It's also very important to replace the bondage with freedom in Christ. So for instance, if you have a bondage and you recognize that, you know what, the root of this bondage is I don't understand God's love for me. I don't understand that God loves me and I don't know who I am in Christ. Then you find your Bible and you find the scriptures that speak to God's love for you. Or you find the scriptures that speak to who you are in Christ. And as you meditate on these scriptures, learn these scriptures by heart, absorb these scriptures, soak these scriptures into exactly it, you know, fully into your being. Do you know you're going to experience freedom in Christ? Understand that you can go back in bondage. Don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. You see, when we feel we can't get back into bondage, that's when we'll take chances. The alcoholic who thinks, I will never become an alcoholic again, I am free. He may go on a night of liming and take a few drinks, not understanding that that is all he needs to get back into bondage. The person who comes out of an abusive relationship, they may think, you know what, I'll never fall back into that relationship. But you know what, he's a little sad tonight, I'm going over to comfort him. No, you don't need to be doing those things. You don't need to be walking on the rim of a glass or a cup and hoping you don't fall in. The chances of you falling in are much bigger than the chances of you continuing to walk on the rim of that cup. Another thing you need to do is lean on God in a really big way. Lean on God, lean on God. When you're coming out of bondage, spend time in prayer, spend time in fasting, read your Bible, surround yourself by your Christian friends, live in church. Do whatever it takes. Even have friends around you who you are accountable to. So you're coming out of alcoholism, say, okay, I'm going to tell you if I'm drinking. That's why they have that whole buddy system in Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're coming out of a bad relationship, sometimes the relationship is not even abusive, but it's just not a good relationship for you. It's just not the right relationship for you. And you know it. And you know you have to get out of it. And I don't only apply this to romantic relationships. Sometimes it's just bad friendships. Show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. Sometimes it's just a bad friendship and you need to drop that friendship. Sometimes it's a wrong way of relating to a family member or a friend or a co-worker. There may be people you have to continue relating with. But you don't need to continue to allow them to take advantage of you. Or to continue to allow them to relate with you in unhealthy and dysfunctional ways. Always remember, the enemy will play on your compassion, your insecurity, your delusions, your wrong beliefs, whatever your weakness is. But you can be free. You must choose freedom. Choose today, freedom or bondage. Do you like your chains? Are they comfortable? Are they familiar? But what about a life of freedom? Think about it. Picture it. Dream about it. Dream about freedom from that bondage, that one thing that holds you back in life, that habit that keeps you from being successful. Dream about it. Picture yourself without it. And as you do, embrace the freedom that Christ died on the cross to get you. Embrace the freedom of a new life. Embrace the freedom of change. Embrace the freedom of choice. Thank you and God bless.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Indira Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.